Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, May the 20th, 2008, and welcome to episode number 23 of The Beer Crate, a podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national and international breweries, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have news, the drinker's diary, coverage of a town in the Czech Republic called Pilsen, the second part of our interview with Jan Lakota, quick tastings, and our world-famous Try Before You Die section. So let's get cracking. News. And Hall & Woodhouse have launched a brand new Badger beer called Long Days. This is a 4.5% golden summer ale with a touch of raspberries, used no doubt because of its use as a fertility aid. It can be found in half-litre bottles in various supermarkets around the country. Staying with Hall & Woodhouse, their Thirsty Ferret beer is the fastest-growing major bottled ale in UK supermarkets. Not surprising, really, but I'm not sure how many of those sales are due to me alone or the listeners of Episode 9, where it won Try Before You Die. Another idea to stop binge drinkers buying cheap supermarket beer has been suggested. This time, it involves providing a specially restricted section of the store solely for beer, in much the same way as cigarettes are held behind the counter. I have no idea how this is expected to work when you still have to pay for it at the till, so the checkout staff still have to do the same job as checking you're allowed to buy it, but there you go, the war rages on. And finally, in news that will surprise no one, the Association of Licensed Multiple Retailers have said that drinks duties were higher in the UK than any other member state, being more than 10 times that of Germany and Spain, and 8 times higher than France and Greece. So it's no wonder that people are stocking up and travelling abroad. Drinker's Diary, and there are 4 festivals this week. The first is the Stourbridge branch of Canberra, holding its beer festival from the 22nd of May to the 24th at the Town Hall, Market Street, Stourbridge. Colchester Arts Centre plays host to its beer festival, the 23rd Colchester Real Ale and Cider Festival, from the 27th to the 31st of May. Moving into June now, and the 12th Southampton Beer Festival runs from the 5th of June to the 7th, taking place at the Guildhall, West Marlands Road, Southampton. And finally, the Rare Breeds Centre in Woodchurch, Kent, is hosting its 14th Rare Breeds Beer Festival. This takes place on the 6th of June and the 7th of June. The Czech town of Pilsen in West Bohemia was founded by the Czech king Wenceslas II. To some, its most famous feature is the Gothic-style St. Bartholomew Cathedral. It's 102 metres tall and the highest church spire in Bohemia. To others, it's the home of the Pilsner Urquell beer and the entire genre of pils. Beer was being brewed here as far back as 1307, when it said that every house in the town knew how to brew. Despite this, the act of brewing was considered a privilege and not a right, and at the end of the 15th and 16th centuries, the town was fighting for this right with local nobility. They ultimately kept it, but it wasn't until 1842 when they'd regroup again. This time, it was to found Berger's Brewery, to create a quality beer using the mass of local knowledge. This beer became known as Pilsner Urquell. Naturally, Pilsen has a beer museum, at number 6 Veleslava Nova Street. This was founded in 1959 on the site of a 15th century malt house. It also plays host to the annual Days of Beer Festival. There aren't many places in the world that have given rise to an entire oeuvre of beer, and Pilsen is one, and consequently well worth a visit given the chance. We now continue with the second of our two-part interview with Jan Lakota. I started by asking what the most recent changes have been.
A week ago, so on 14th of February, so maybe like a San Valentine's present, the Commission, European Commission, has launched a quite interesting proposal for producers and national authorities, which deals with products subject to excise duty. So there are different products, let's say mineral oils, petrol, but also such nice beverages as beer. And among them, there figures a quite interesting provision which would enable beer lovers their favorite beer from all over Europe on distance, by distance purchasing. And so they don't have to go to that part of Europe and come back with it. And what is interesting about that is that those products would be subject to the payment of local taxes. So we can imagine that this will in fact show where consumers want to buy their products in a free European market. Moreover, this proposal sets a new electronic framework for monitoring goods, and the intention of the European authorities is to set up the system in order to look over potential fraud activities or losses, so they can have a better overview of what's happening on the European single market. I know it might sound like a big brother, but it already exists for export products, and in other fields. So this is just a step, another step.
This affects all sizes of brewery?
Well, yes, that would affect every. This new system would affect, in fact, every beer producer. Although in the directive there states an article exempting small wine producers, so probably we'll need to do some work also on finding the right balance for small beer producers.
Sounds like winemakers have all the fun, what with lower taxes and that.
Well, that's why we are over-flooded with New World wines, so please judge by yourself.
You're also working on consumer protection, as I understand it.
Yes, this is quite a new area in which we, as producers, were not so active. But due to the appearance of direct sales from producers, especially microbrewers, or to the directly to the consumers, then it's also a field that the producers need to take into account, and also offer the best possibilities for consumers to look at this product that's without which they could not, well, without the support they could not survive. So we hope that at the next European Beer Consumers Festival in September, so they can first see the rich variety of the beers that we have on the European continent, but moreover gain contacts to receive them afterwards.
One of the issues for me with quality beers and those from microbreweries is that you can destroy a beer's taste so easily in transit. Is there any protection from that?
Well, I think then it's a question of for those who ship the product to put strict rules for the conditions. Now, in fact, consumer protection has become a major issue on the European policy. And of course, taking into account the quality of products, its safety, but then also the right conditions for sales and purchase. And also to have the guarantee that the product that we receive is the one that we ordered. So it's a new framework that is being established together with new information centers, raising the awareness on consumer rights. I must say, beer is not maybe the first product when we might think that maybe retail services, electronic devices can be of major interest, however, so beer is also a consumer good.
The evolution of beer sales seems to have gone from specialist retailers to supermarkets to online internet sales. Is this the way it's going to continue?
Well, that's a quite interesting thing. So the evolution is right, but we are, when I come to beer, we didn't. We are still at the beginning of the online ordering, so maybe it will we still need to pass that step of the evolution for the purchase habits. So, but the future probably should be if we if the microbreweries increase. Plus also the interests of the consumers shift rapidly from one product or from one country to another, then probably we will see this kind, this path of evolution.
Are there any false signs?
Exports of European beer are increasing. Of course, we had major players that's we have the it's a quite normal I think trend for every product. We have the icebreakers, which are big companies that enter into a market, they get licensing agreements with local producers, finally they buy some local companies or they build their own facilities. And after them, so we have a lot of, let's say, dwarfs that follow them. And this has happened where European beers from small and medium-sized companies try to come into new markets. Quite a large success could be seen in for those producers. For small producers in countries like Japan, Canada, or United States, whereas large producers have succeeded in obtaining larger market shares as well as buying local companies in Southeast Asia, Africa, and Latin America, where European players have acquired local companies.
There probably aren't that many people that make a career in brewing. It must be quite a change going from a personal beer person to a professional one.
It's quite a coincidence because when I first I chose to study in Belgium because it's quite natural for a beer lover to come here one day, maybe not to stay for the rest more than. For a long time, but that is my case. However, so my interest for beer started from a quite particular fact that I spotted once a nice-looking label, and I kept it. And I had a colleague in my secondary school that was collecting beers, beer labels. So I started doing the same, and we had a competition between three of us. But today I'm the only one who still doesn't.
So, what was your first label?
It was a beer label from in Poland in 1991. We had the Polish Beer Lovers Party, and the Polish Beer Lovers Party had a famous actor as a president. And he issued a label of a beer called The President. So, and as I knew the person, I thought, well, this is quite unique, so I will keep it. And from that started my collection.
So, what are the criteria for including beer labels in your collection?
It depends. If it's a label from a beer that I don't know, then I follow the first principle of my collection, which is take only labels from beer which you taste. when it is something, when it is a beer that I already have and there are potential changes, I keep it to see the evolution of a label. But also because sometimes I find it nice, or when there are limited series, then I buy it. But I don't have an obsession of buying every beer for the new label whatsoever. So now that I mentioned, the first principle is I only take labels from beers that I drank myself. The other principle is I also have labels which different people offered me. So I collect beers. I collect beer labels from all over the world, and I think that's I just passed the 3,000 label of every different beer.
And takes up less space than keeping the bottle.
Oh yes, yes, yes. And what is also funny that when I look at a label, most often I remember if I like it.
That's useful as well as interesting. Some people remember where they were at a certain time by pop music, some by politics. You do it with beer labels.
Okay, then I wait for a researcher that would analyze this from a maybe from a point of view of the psychology or anthropology. So, nice subject for research.
I have a few labels myself, but there's so many I just can't get off the bottle.
Well, it's a problem that I'm very familiar with. I must say that beer from certain regions, beer labels from certain regions are especially difficult to take off because of the glue or the quality of the paper. And here I mean mainly the beers from Asia, but also from the UK, where the kind of glue which is used, or sometimes the kind of paper, so doesn't allow me to take them off. But I also now I'm from my point of view as a as a person who takes the label directly from the bottle and does not order it from the brewery. So the new labels which are on a which use a special technology, so I think it's called PLS. Those are making me quite unhappy about the future of my collection.
Perhaps you should start photographing them instead.
I started to do it. So I started to, yes, I have now 10, I think, 10 pictures of bottles. I have also a collection of beer mats and the caps. So some accessories are also there, but it's by chance. I must say that in my beer mats collection, I am quite proud of it because I inherited part of it, and the oldest beer mat that I have, it's from the 70s. It's from the World Beer Mat exhibition that took place here in Belgium, and maybe it's worth it. Maybe it has some value.
Everyone plays with beer mats at some point. There's an opportunity for education and communication, I guess.
Well, that's the art. So, for example, I have from the older series, so they are, some, for example, is about painters, Flemish painters. And there's a short story. Others are related to inventors. So, yes, it's a good mean of communication.
Any notable changes since the 70s?
Yes, there's a trend. The use of colors have changed.
And how many have you got?
I think it will be a similar amount, although now I must say that when we talk about the quantity, I have probably much more beer mats, but many of them are of the same series. But unique, they will be approaching, I think, 2,000. So
if you're trapped on the desert island, what sort of beer is it you'd want with you?
Oh, I think I will have the choice either between a really cold Czech Pilsner or French herbal beer.
Any darker beers you'd prefer if you were trapped inside the icy tundra?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Then I think I would have the choice a nice Lithuanian stout or a good strong Russian beer.
And finally, any last wishes for the industry?
Yes, I have one wish, and not only because I'm cooking with beer, but I think that what should be developed, and I mentioned that at one stage, is to enhance or to strengthen the potential of the gastronomy related to beer. I think that would make people happier when they choose their beer, because then we will end up just with a simple choice: Asian food plus beer. But we shall see a development of new patterns, and maybe quite interesting, and which would also allow have new explorers around Europe, but hopefully also around the world.
Thank you for joining the Beer Crate.
Thank you, Stephen.
Quick tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. La Trappe Triple, from De Koenigshoven Brewery. This dark blonde beer comes from the only Trappist brewery outside of Belgium. Despite some recent squabbles over branding, the beer has remained good and a solid reminder of why the Netherlands are one of the best beer producers in the world. La Trappe Triple is a full, fruity, bitter sweet beer, with a sweet caramel mouthfeel and a bitterness on the back of the tongue. This comes in as if from nowhere and holds nicely into the aftertaste. There's an 8% alcohol markup on this, and a score of 7 out of 10. Also from De Koenigshoven is La Trappe Double, at 7% ABV. This is a dark ruby red beer, with a light foamy head and a slightly yeast aroma. This has continuing flavour that gives structure to the beer as a whole, and the yeast can be piercing in places, so it's not for everyone, but a definite worthwhile 7.5 out of 10. Castile Rouge, from Brewery Van Honsbroek. This is the brewery famed for its Try Before You Die winner, back in episode number 10. I was hoping that the Rouge in the title was its attempt at a ruby ale. In fact, it's closer to a fruit beer, with the red in this case referring to cherry, since the aroma is that of Morello cherry, with a slight bitterness that you might find in a filling for a cherry pie. This gives it a vibrant mouthfeel and a long lingering aftertaste. It will be too much taste for many, like some of their other beers, and not one you can drink many of, but a good 8% beer, and scoring 7.5 out of 10. Floris Honey, from Floris. This is a slightly stronger beer than most from Floris, clocking in at 4.5%, but certainly no different in style. That is, they say it's a honey beer, and it is, with a strong set honey taste and texture all over the tongue. This is complemented with a nice bitterness at the edge of the mouth, but is not as all-encompassing a honey taste as you'd get with honey ales like Waggledance or perhaps Barbar. It does use wheat beer as a base, which is different and interesting and might be the cause of the differences in taste. 7 out of 10. Try Before You Die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, St. Bernardus Abbot 12. This is a bottled 10.5% beer from the St. Bernardus Brewery in Belgium. It's a rich ruby brown colour with spice and herbs in the taste, alongside the typical caramel and chocolate. The brewery is situated in the town of Watteau in West Flanders, next to the town's cheese factory. It's a fairly recent development and was begun by Mr. De Koenig shortly after the Second World War, using the ideas and recipes of the master brewer of West Vleteren. This was because of the links the brewery and the cheese factory had to the monastery, or Refuge Notre Dame de Saint Bernard. Consequently, it was known as a Trappist ale. In 1992, the old licensing agreement had run out, and upon renewal, they found that the ruling had changed, and any Trappist ale had to be brewed within the walls of a monastery. It is now consequently an abbey ale. The brewery also produces a 6, an 8, a triple, and a wheat beer in the St. Bernardus range. Additionally, they produce the Watteau triple and their Gurten beer. But the 12 is my favourite, and wins this week's Try Before You Die. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the beer crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. This podcast has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.